Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Not another X-Files podcast, the truth isn't here, not over there. Not another X-Files podcast.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Spread.
Investigation.
This is where it all started.
You're wrong. This is the end of the road.
I'm so sorry. I failed you.
Hey guys, Ryan Sprague here. Today, I'm sharing an exclusive crossover episode that I recently released to my Patreon subscribers. Patreon subscribers receive advanced releases of main episodes, bonus material, outtakes, videos, and exclusive merchandise from time to time. You'll always know in advance who my upcoming guests and topics will be, and you have the opportunity to pick my guests and topics as well. Hell, you can even be my guest or co-host for an episode. These are the benefits of becoming a Patreon subscriber today. You'll be helping the show grow both in quality and quantity, and we are inching ever so close to our monthly goal. So, this week, you get a sneak peek of just exactly what to expect by becoming a patron today. To learn more and to become a patron, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. For this sneak peek bonus episode, I sit down with Vanessa and Carolyn of the Not Another X-Files podcast, to discuss the recent X-Files Season 11 episode, Ghoulie, in which Mulder and Scully's son reemerges with dire and extraordinary consequences. What did we all think of this tearjerker of an episode? And how the hell can't Gillian Anderson be nominated for an Emmy next year for this? We also dive deep into Edgar Cayce, hypnagogic states, and the truth behind our feelings for shipping between everyone's favorite FBI agents. So, without further ado, here's the Somewhere in the Skies and Not Another X-Files podcast crossover episode. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Not Another X-Files podcast.
And this is Ryan Sprague from the Somewhere in the Skies podcast.
Our podcast follows the X-Files every week.
Yes, every week we watch an episode of the X-Files and then we talk about it. And I'm Vanessa.
I'm Carolyn.
Yes, just so that you know who is who. And we're really excited to be doing this crossover with Ryan.
So excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been a fan of your guys' show for a while now. And as a both X-Files and a UFO aficionado, like, it was so cool to find people who love the X-Files as much as I did. And I know there's so many of us out there, but to connect and actually like talk about an episode is like a dream come true for someone like me. So,
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell us about your podcast.
Oh yeah, sorry. So my show is all about talking UFOs. You know, what do people actually believe when it comes to this topic? Have they had a sighting, an encounter, an abduction experience? It really runs the gamut from week to week. And, you know, I have people on in all walks of life. You know, I've got like scientists, academics, you know, musicians, artists, anyone you can think of and what they might think about these topics, these paradigm shifting things that could ultimately tell us a lot about ourselves. So it's a pretty interesting sociological experiment every week. And I love doing it. And the X-Files coming back has been a big, you know, invigorating part of all of that. So yeah, I could not be more excited to be talking to you guys.
So now, Ryan, you actually wrote a book too. You are an actual real life writer.
Real life
published
writer.
IRL. Yeah. The book was about 2 years in the making, and I went across the country and spoke to people in England, in South Africa, in Australia, all over the place about their encounters and how it changed their lives. You know, I talked about what happened to these people, but it was more about what happened afterwards. Like, what did their family think about what they experienced? Their neighbors, you know, the pillars of the community having a UFO sighting. Like, what does that mean for the community? So it was really interesting to see what people, what they believed happened to them and how it affected them afterwards. So yeah, that was 2 years of my life and it turned out beautifully. The reception was great. And that kind of led to my podcast. You know, I had so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Too much material to put in the book. So I'm like, how can I keep doing this? And that's where the idea for the podcast came from.
And your book is called?
The book is called Somewhere in the Skies, A Human
awesome.
Approach to an Alien Phenomenon. There's always a subtitle.
Of course.
That's awesome.
The
I love
colon and what comes after.
Yes.
And we were super excited to do this podcast with you also because you're just so excited about the topics.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it's just really fun to have somebody to, I mean, not that our other guests, or not guests, but our other people that we podcast with are not, you know, super excited as well. But it's just nice to have people who are passionate about something to be mm-hmm. on. Do this crossover with. So
absolutely. I mean, in terms of the crossover, I have to ask you guys, you know, turn the tables here. What really got you into the X-Files? Were you both like hardcore fans from the start?
Oh, well, let us tell
ask.
You.
Well, I came to the X-Files a little bit later. I was pretty young when it first started, but I started watching right after the first movie came out.
Yeah.
I was still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about the same for me. Like, I might have seen a little bit before Fight the Future came out, but I think I was about 13 when I started watching it, but I got really into it in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, totally. Me too. Me too.
Netflix with the DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Netflix still does DVDs and online streaming.
I think it does DVDs
in
only
the
in the
States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I know.
We don't get the DVDs up here.
You know, the DVDs are so much better. You get so much more selection.
True. My collection is very precious to me.
And special features.
My X-Files DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've just always been like in love with mysteries and ghost stories mm-hmm. and legends, urban or otherwise. Like so finding a show that had all that, plus like an amazing group of characters that you actually cared about their struggle, their journey.
Totally.
Like, that just blew my like young mind open. I was like, oh my gosh.
Not to mention, you know, Scully is amazing and we love shipping.
Oh, that's true.
I mean,
all right.
Things never change.
That was going to be my next question. Are you guys shippers or not?
Oh, yeah. We unabashedly ship Mulder and Scully.
We ship.
You know what?
And ship and ship.
I didn't for the longest time until this season. And my God.
Whoa. Revelation.
Whoa.
My God, is it being thrown in our face this season in a good way?
I feel like Chris Carter's finally not like shying away from it.
Yeah. Or he's just giving us like almost a last hurrah for the fans. Like, okay, I'll give you what you want. God, just stop like bothering me about it.
Yes. Oh my God. I mean, I will say, you know, before we even get into the episode we're going to be talking about, like this season seems like a love letter to the fans. Like he just hopped right in. It's like, I don't give a crap if you didn't pay attention to the first 10 seasons. Like we're here. This is what we're doing. And I'm giving you what you want. So it's interesting.
And actually, speaking of that, I literally, right before we got recording, I read this little interview that Chris Carter did with an online magazine called Digital Spy. And I just like was like, I have to talk about this on the podcast because he talks about kind of like what the future of the X-Files is going to be. And so, you know, he talks about how like he's having so much fun doing it again and like, you know, working with these old characters. I mean, season 10 wasn't that long ago, but still working with these old characters that he's created and that he's kind of watched grow up in a way. And then he talks about how wasn't actually aware that Jillian was saying that she was going to be done, like when she actually went public and said it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, well, I've been kind of wondering how long they were really going to be like sticking with it. It's been 25 years. They've done, you know, 6,000 to 7,000 hours of filming, which is like crazy to think about. And he kind of said, like, I still see a future to the X-Files. So it's like he just doesn't want to give it up.
Could he be more vague?
Yeah, he basically was like, you know, let's see. I always thought of David the way I thought about. Okay, so this is they asked him about, you know, okay, I'll just read the whole thing. This is the interviewer. You've said the show has always been Mulder and Scully, and David has said a few things about the seasons without him. How do you feel about the Doggett and Rhea's years looking back? And then he says, I always thought of David the way I thought about the child, William, as an absent center. Even when he wasn't there, he was the center of everyone's concern, and the story is revolved around him. I think that's an interesting problem for storytellers, and I think that if the X-Files is to go forward, then Scully would be a similar absent center.
That's interesting. Shrug. Yeah, I mean, they seem to be focusing a lot on her in this new season. So I do wonder, like, will we get life after this, and will it really involve the memory of Scully or, you know, maybe William? I do wonder.
Maybe. And will we keep watching?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, to be honest, like,
I mean,
yes,
we stopped watching when Mulder and Scully left the first time because, like,
a lot of people
as
did.
As much as we love Doggett and Reyes, like, they shouldn't have that chemistry. They didn't have that spark.
No.
That David Duchovny, Gillian Anderson had.
Yeah.
In it's you can't really even describe it. It's sort of this something that's there, but it's really poignant and, you know, we love watching it.
Mm-hmm.
They just have this chemistry that you can't replicate and you can't create out of nothing.
Yeah. And that's why we ship.
And that's why we ship. That is right.
I love it. You know, most people don't have an answer. They're just like, I just want to see him kiss. But but no,
well,
I appreciate it.
We go there too.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah.
But like, no, yeah, just their the care for each other. Like, yeah, like I love how this season it's more of like, well, we've gone through this whole journey together. And I love in the last episode where she was talking about, like, what does this mean? What is, like, what's our future? Like, for the characters too.
Exactly.
For the show.
Yeah. It wasn't just, you know, Mulder and Scully's, like, relationship, whether it's with a little R or a capital R.
Right.
It's also, like, what is the future of the show? And where is, what is its place in 2018, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good point. I mean, they took so much time off, you know, in between coming back with the season 10 that, like, the world changed so much. And to really put that into the show, they had to. They were sort of forced into a corner to do that. So, you know, season 10 aside, I think so far these first, what is it now, 5 episodes we've seen?
Yeah, this is number 5.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing a great job, especially with the forehead sweat episode.
Yes, that was so much fun.
Yeah, talk about, like, right on the nose. My God.
Yeah. So, Ryan, speaking of that, you recently interviewed the actor who plays Reggie something. I forgot his name. Thank you.
Yeah, Brian Husky. Yeah. So, you know, after the episode aired, I just was like in stitches, as I'm sure you guys were with his work on the episode. It was just
so good.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable to see him like implanted into these old episodes that we hold so dear to our hearts.
That was like my favorite part.
I was like
so funny.
On the couch yelling at the TV, like spitting popcorn out like I was watching the Super Bowl.
So cute.
So I immediately, I'm not kidding you, right after the episode, I got on Twitter. I found him and I tweeted to him. I'm like, I'm never going to hear from him. Like an hour later, the dude like DMs me on Twitter. He's like, I love podcasting. Let's do this.
Oh, fun.
Oh my God. He was so inviting. We did it the next morning and I was like,
wow,
how much time do you have for me? He's like, whatever you need, let's do it. So,
oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that part about it.
That's awesome.
So cool.
That kind of happened with us and Dean Haglund too. I just approached him on Facebook and he was like, let's do it.
Right. I know you've interviewed Dean Haglund too.
All right, so I have to
okay, story.
Yeah, confession time. The only reason I interviewed Dean Haglund is because of you guys.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
We're trendsetters.
You are both trendsetters and I was riding your coattails. I'm like, wow, this dude was like so accommodating and like, this is so cool. I'm gonna do a little copying here and I made sure to I covered different stuff with him though.
As long as there's more Dean Haglund in the universe, I will never be upset.
Same. Yeah, that's amazing. Like, go and find that episode, you guys. I admit that is one of yours that I haven't listened to, and I will have to do that.
Same with you guys. Yeah, I loved, like, I love getting, like, a local perspective, because he's kind of from where you guys are from, right?
Yeah. He grew up in Vancouver.
Right,
Vancouver.
Right.
And he went to the university that that I go to and where I work, and that Carolyn went to.
Right. And he always has these connections with people. Like, with me, it was, he lived in LA for a while, so he now comes back from Australia and gives these tours of all these old theaters in LA, which is really cool because I walk by these theaters every day and now they're like a Men's Warehouse or an Urban Outfitters. And
it's so sad.
But he'll come and give you the history of these things. And as like a movie buff and a screenwriter, like that's a dream come true for me. So next time he's here, I'm going on a personal tour with him. So there you go. Aww. The guy's a gentleman through and through.
That is awesome.
Yeah. We got so lucky with this fandom. Like everybody involved with this fandom is amazing.
And I will say, like, so my partner has a podcast on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and it's harder to reach people in that, you know, universe, like, you know, actors in that, not fandom, but in that show.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to reach them. It's harder to get them to, you know, sign on with you to do an interview or whatever. And they haven't really done it because it's just been maybe I don't know why.
Yeah,
I have no idea why.
I do wonder, you know, Buffy was much later than the X-Files. I'm correct in that, right? I'm trying to think about my...
It started a few years later, but then the bulk of the X-Files and the bulk of Buffy were on simultaneously. And it's actually kind of fun because in Buffy, they'll make comments about the X-Files. X-Files doesn't really make comments.
That reminds me a lot of how in the Fight the Future movie, they literally piss on an Independence Day poster. When in Independence Day, they're like fawning over the X-Files. Chris Carter's like, nope, I don't give a crap about ID.
That is one of my favorite things in Fight the Future. I always point it out, like, especially if I'm watching with somebody who's never seen it. I'm like, look what they're doing.
Remember the 90s?
Totally. Yep. 90s moment. Moment. All right. This 90s moment
is a 90s moment.
All right.
That's a very profound song. Yes. I always, every time I'm like,
over here.
Bop, doop, doop, bop, ba, doop, 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 doop. I can't do it as well as they can, obviously. Carolyn like, is looking at me like, what are you doing?
They got paid a lot to do that, so don't worry about it.
And they're still around.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what? It's crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
They only got better with age, like, let me just say.
Yeah, like a
I agree with that.
Yeah.
They don't look like little girls anymore.
Nothing wrong with being a little girl.
I'm not going to
lie.
No, there is not. I remember when that first music video came out, and I was like, wow, that lead singer's kind of cute. And then I realized it was a guy many years later. So
three brothers. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really the way I swing, but oh well.
I would say that was, you know, 15-year-old Ryan's first, you know, his first perception of his sexuality right there. It's like, all right. Doors open.
Wow.
All right.
Okay, so that's going in the description. Just kidding.
I could safely say
that'll really get people to listen to the
any podcast before, so that's an exclusive.
Listeners are going to get a little bit more than they bargained for at this
one. No kidding. I feel special that you admitted that on our podcast. Wait, and your podcast.
Our podcast.
The greater.
The big hour. Yes.
Shall we get started?
I think we should.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do it.
Do you want to read a description?
Today we are going to be talking about Ghoulie, Season 11, Episode 5. I have a description for you.
That means we're halfway through.
Don't say it's not.
Sorry.
Don't remind me.
No.
When a pair of teenage girls attack one another, each believing the other to be a monster, Mulder and Scully find that their investigation could possibly lead back to their long-lost son, William.
And it does.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, really.
It does.
So, I don't know what to start talking about in this episode, but the whole Ghoulie thing. Can we talk about the name first and then like get into that a little bit?
Yes, please.
So this is a episode just predicated on legends and what's real, what's not real, and the people's perceptions.
And was it last week that we had memory?
Memory.
Mm-hmm.
And this week it's perceptions.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to do one thing. Written and directed by James Wong. The great Wong.
I felt that something was missing.
That's
until
it.
You said that.
That's it. That was the thing I was missing.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, this character, Ghoulie, has a life on the internet.
Like, in the show or not in the show?
In the show. In
they
the
actually, there is a ghoulie.net.
That's what I wanted to get into for that and the whole Slenderman connection in a moment.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, what?
I didn't know you were going there.
What? So, twists and turns. I only want you to see what I want you to see. Okay, Vanessa?
Dang, girl.
Nice reference.
Are you Ghoulie?
Nice reference.
Are you Ghoulie?
No. I'm for reals, yo.
That's just that's what she says to
yeah.
him.
Are
yeah.
you Googling?
Are you Googling?
So I will ask, I say this to everybody now, and they're like, excuse me, you're in a CVS right now. Please just take your prescription and leave. Okay. Yeah, so there was a, did you check out the website, Ryan?
Yeah, so I had no idea that they created that website, first of all. I thought that was like an actual urban legend, like Slender Man. So
I think a few people did, like a few people thought that it was at least, or somebody was in the fandom or something.
Hook, line, and sinker. Mm. I fell for it.
Yeah, so amazing. So for those listeners who don't know, there is a website called that's on Ghoulie.net, and it basically has like, it's like a modern urban legend site. It has like drawings of this Ghoulie character, and it has like a whole list where people can write down what they've seen. There are legit like screenshots from other X-Files episodes in there.
Are there really? I did not notice that.
So like there's this one called Sighting in a Lab, which is a picture from War of the Coprophages.
Seriously? I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I think you can actually...
Can people put in their own?
I think you can submit things to
because,
it now.
Like, yeah, whoever put this on was hilarious, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That is
so
amazing.
So funny, right?
What? So people have been, like, really looking
getting into
at
this,
the
which
backgrounds
I love.
Of episodes and stuff. That's so good. And there's probably, like, fan art on here, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Like, which is what I love about this is, like, it's so the X-Files.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, like, when the internet was in its infancy.
Yes.
When X-Files with a PH went onto the internet to, like, talk to other fans. And Chris Carter trolled those sites and got some ideas for the story. So this is kind of one of those ripped from the headlines, ripped from the internet kind of stories. So I love it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the X-Files always did that so well of listening to their fans. And we know, you know, Dean Haglund mentions it and even Carter that they made episodes directly from fan suggestions. So that's so cool. And I'm glad they're still doing that.
It's great. Like, especially in these days when the internet is so ubiquitous.
Ugh, yeah.
Like, other TV shows, like, you know, can't ignore it. So I'm glad they started that.
Other TV shows can't ignore
the internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
totally. I can't ignore it either.
It's like it's in my face 24/7
constantly. No, I'm serious. Like the only time I'm like not on the internet, I swear, is when I'm in bed. Like I use it for work. I use it to drive places. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of that, I have to ask you guys a question. Is it still weird for you to see Mulder with like a smartphone or like on the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just can't get used to it.
I'm like, he's
every
texting.
Time he says dark net, I'm like,
dark net. Oh my God.
What?
I can't really take it seriously.
I found myself on the dark net. Yeah.
Such a grandpa. Okay. I will say though, like some people have been like, yeah, you know, he's getting old. And I'm like, yeah, of course he's aged. But like there were a couple shots in this episode where he didn't look that much different than young Mulder.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like I really feel like I'm being kind of propelled back in time sometimes. Like it's pretty cool.
Well, I do love how they like just were like, okay, Mulder, what if Mulder, you know, really did age and is really talking like this, and it's like, yeah, that's what he would be like.
That's what he would be like.
So like I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I like that they didn't try to make him too like, you know, technology forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would have been not in keeping this character at all.
He's never been a Langley.
It's true.
So why would you suddenly make him one? Yeah.
Yeah. So can we talk about a little real life connection here with the Slenderman killings?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the killings that happened in real life.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's creepy, right?
It's creepy and sad.
Yeah. For sure.
Ryan, do you know anything about this?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd been following the Slenderman thing for a while. I remember I was in New York and I was. I'm primarily a playwright. That's like where my heart truly is. And I was in a play reading festival where one of my horror plays was getting done. And there was a play about
horror
this.
Play. Wow.
Horror plays. It's a thing, if you can believe it.
That's awesome.
I'm loving
I'm here
everything
for it.
You're saying. Like, don't stop talking.
Okay. Oh, I wish you guys were in New York like a couple months ago. I had my play about Jack the Ripper was going on there. Anyways, moving on.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Shameless plugs, yeah.
We'll be there for the West Coast opening in Vancouver.
That's right. It's because it's going to be here, right?
Hello, it's going to transcontinental.
Wink, wink. If you know any theater companies, you let me know. But yeah, they... there was like a short 5-minute play about this tall, faceless man that was following these children around, and it terrified me. I had no idea that this was an online urban legend. I thought this playwright had completely made this up in his own head. So then I started doing all this research online and seeing all the like kind of blurry photos. I'm like, wait a second, is this like a real phenomenon? And then the more I learned about creepypasta and like went down that rabbit hole, yep, I was like, whoa. And then when this documentary, when the killings, the actual killings with these young girls happened right then and there, I'm like, all right, this is a moment in time where the internet, you know, as it has many times before, has directly impacted people and caused death. So, I mean, it's terrifying to think about that.
It's terrifying to think about the fact that the internet almost like reaches out to us, yes, in those ways, like, you know, or the urban legends that are on the internet reach out from the internet towards us. Like, sometimes there's this, you know, there's been an ethical discussion about this for a while now. Like, what is real? What is not? Like, are kids going to think that some things are real that they see on the internet, but they're not really, you know, fake news?
I actually just saw an article about a high school, and I think it was in New York, where they had a class on fake news, like how spot fake news.
Good.
Like, what is a real source? Like, I
am so happy to
tell
hear
my
that.
Students all the time, like, Wikipedia is okay to look at, but don't you dare quote that.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Carolyn, tell us a little bit about these killings that Ryan just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Well, he pretty much got it. There was a 16-year-old girl and another girl who attacked a 12-year-old.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think she was younger.
Yeah, and I just hear that the trial just finished.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That happened a few years ago, though, didn't it?
The trial finished in December.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It'd been going on for a while.
Yeah.
I guess trials can, like, they can be kind of drawn out sometimes.
Yeah, she, the 16-year-old, received 25 years in a psychiatric institution.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, super hard to believe that. Yeah.
Right. And they made a documentary about it where they chronicle like the parents' lives after this all happened. Yeah. And it was heartbreaking.
Oh, I bet.
You know, because everyone, of course, blames the parents for not being there, for neglecting the children and causing this to happen. And that's a huge can of worms we don't want to open right now. But like,
no, I think it's pretty unfair, though. I think it's safe to say that it's pretty unfair. And like, it's more complicated than that.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is just such a tragic thing. And, you know, here we see it now entering into the X-Files. So,
well, the X-Files has always been pretty timely with sort of the things going on in the world at the time of their production.
I do want to get into what William's like mindset was when he set these events into motion. Maybe we could get back to that when we start talking about him later in the episode.
Totally.
But yeah, so this episode opens up, I guess, on the girls going to, you know, find each other and attack Ghouli. They both think they're looking for Ghouli. We don't know what they're doing at the time, which is, X-Files cold opens are like the best cold opens ever. And every other TV show that should take a note from their playbook. Like, their cold opens are so good.
I think a lot of TV shows have tried.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Keep trying. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because it's so good because it just opens up in a creepy location. Two people, you don't know why they're there. They're doing something totally out of the ordinary. Like, how do you not, like, want to just watch the whole show after that?
Seriously.
Like, I can't.
Ryan, you've done screenwriting, is that right?
Yeah.
As well as playwriting?
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about that technique?
Yeah, so, I mean, this one was a little, I will admit, a little different from a lot of X-Files in terms of, like, the cold open has very little to do what plays out with the rest of the episode, which is kind of rare for X-Files. Usually the cold open is like our thrust into the world of what we're going to now see. Yes, it tied into it a lot intrinsically, but Ghouli, the actual monster, as I'm sure we'll get into, really was not a big part of all this. I thought this was going to be our first monster of the week of the season, and it kind of was, kind of wasn't, but you are correct in that the X-Files, above any other show, they know how to, that hook, you know, whether it's a movie, a TV show, or a play, like, you got to get people within the first 5 minutes or they are tuning out and they're gone. So they knew how to do that week after week after week. And I'm so jealous.
One of the best ones, in my opinion, is Fight the Future.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That is like, I mean, if that doesn't hook you into that movie, I don't know what would.
You mean the caveman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, with the kid. I mean, yeah, the caveman is one thing, but like when...
Ah. Give me some sweet caveman footage any day of the week.
No, my name
is Vanessa.
No. When the kid actually ends up
when
getting...
the kid falls down, then like he looks up and his eyes turn black, and you're like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much. Yeah. No, that's what I mostly meant. Not necessarily.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
caveman,
to scream into your ear there.
Poor Ryan.
This is me in the movie theater. 12-year-old. Oh, my gosh!
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No, but I mean, feel like I'm in the room with you guys. This is awesome.
Yeah, that's good. I hope. Actually, we've had people tell us that that's what it feels like when they listen to our podcast, which is really fun.
It should be. That's what a podcast is. If it wasn't, it would be broadcasting, and that's boring.
True. Though broadcasting has its own,
oh, yeah.
its own place and whatever. Yeah. Shout out to CBC. I love them.
Yeah, it's true.
NPR.
There are some CBC shows. Yeah. Oh, yeah. NPR, totally. There are some CBC shows that they only play on the radio, and NPR shows, too, that they only play on the radio. That could be podcasts. Like, they're just,
good stuff.
Can listen to them anytime.
Anyway, so, yes.
Anyway.
Should we get into the actual episode? They tricked us into having a mythology episode by using this great cold open.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And there's been mythology throughout almost all of these episodes so far. I mean, in this, maybe there wasn't so much. And in Lost Art of Forehead Sweat, there wasn't a ton of mythology either.
I still don't even know how much of that is true or not true.
That very episode could have, they could have put it anywhere, I think, in this season.
No, true.
That's very true.
And that's the best thing about Darren Morgan episodes. It doesn't matter. Just drop it in, parachute it in wherever you want, big ratings and a lot of controversy, and you're good to go.
It's true. At the same time, we've talked about the fact that Darren Morgan probably knows at least Mulder and Scully better than anybody except for Chris Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So even though he doesn't really write mythology-heavy episodes, he still, really knows what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say the Morgan brothers and, of course, Mr. Wong are,
Yeah. Anyway. so what was it? What were we saying? So we have My Struggle 3, which is obviously mythology.
Oh,
this didn't really have much.
But is it, though?
Well, or it's that episode that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the hypothetical future episode.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you're right.
No
but
comment.
Then we had this and that.
Wise.
That's fair.
Wise.
This didn't really have very much mythology. And then what was number three? Plus one
plus
was number
one?
Three?
Yeah.
Okay. So there we get a little bit more into the mythology.
Right. Mm-hmm. The mythology of shipping. I mean. No.
Yes, of course.
Well,
other things
mythology.
As well.
So I watched that episode. I was back home in New York during plus one. And I watched that episode with my parents. And at the end of the episode, I'm like sitting there. Okay, I'm 33. Like, I shouldn't get embarrassed when like sex scenes come on TV. But I'm with my parents and I'm like, do it. Open the door.
That is the best thing I've heard all day.
It was amazing. Yeah. My parents
Are your parents files? Do they watch Sex Files?
So I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was younger because it was too scary. And
yeah, we've heard that from other people, too.
Yeah. So
it was just me and Carolyn who, went behind our parents' backs.
Yeah.
My mom found out about it later. She's not happy.
But when my, huge obsession with UFOs started, they were like, all right, maybe we need somewhere for him to focus that energy. Let's let him watch this show and live in this fantasy world for a little
Ryan,
while.
Ryan, can I ask you something?
Absolutely.
Okay, so when I was 13 and was starting to watch The X-Files, I got really into 311, the band, because they had that one album where they it's the alien on the front or whatever.
Yeah.
And do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, the alien head, the big, with the big.
Yeah, and then there's a picture of them in the little booklet because, CDs, for those listening who don't know what a CD is. CDs would come with, CD albums would come with little booklets of pictures and lyrics and stuff. Anyway, and there was a picture of them where they had eye makeup to make them look like alien eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I was hoping that maybe you would be I was totally into that.
Oh, God, I love 311 for real.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, there were so many bands. That's the other big thing. Once the X-Files hit pop culture, everyone tried to get on the alien train. Every band was using, alien imagery or, computers were now had, aliens on them. Every commercial had UFOs in them. It really exploded in the early 90s when
that's true.
X-Files came around. But, yeah, that album. I remember it distinctly. I owned it, and I definitely put that image up on my wall. So, yeah.
Because I went through, I mean, I still find it fascinating, but I went through a phase where I was really fascinated with UFOs. And so that was about the same time that I was watching X-Files and stuff. So,
yep. It's funny how those things run in tandem, and it's yet to leave my life. So I don't see that happening anytime soon.
So that would be your X-Files story, is that you were into UFOs and your parents then let you watch the X-Files?
Yeah, so I had another confessional time. I had a UFO sighting when I was 12, when I was 12 years old.
Right, I actually had a note to ask you about that. Yeah. Is this a good time to talk about that, Vanessa?
Sure.
Yes, since we're talking about Ghoulie, we're talking about, like, what we've seen and what people want us to see. I would love to hear this story.
Sure. Yeah. As long as you guys are cool with it. I don't want to get too off track, but yeah.
Are you kidding? We live in Tangentville.
You've heard this podcast.
You know what? That's true. This is the perfect podcast for that.
Thank you. We're taking that as a compliment.
Yes.
You should. Definitely.
Yes. We're giving each other high fives over the table.
Ba-ding.
Love it. So yeah, when I was 12 years old, I had a UFO sighting in upstate New York over a body of water. It was a triangular formation. I did not see like a craft, like machinery, but it was like distinctly three white lights in a triangular formation, and I couldn't see anything behind it, like stars or the moon or anything. So I was terrified. It made no noise, and I start screaming for my dad to come out and look at this thing, and he actually does. He runs out, and he sees the tail end of it as it's going over the water and heading towards the Canadian border, actually. And
even the aliens were like, nah, we're not going to stay down in that crazy place. We're coming to Canada.
Yeah, let's go to Canada. Let's go get some free health care.
I was thinking, let's get some poutine.
Yeah, really.
Wow. So your dad saw it too?
Yeah. So he saw the tail end of it and he was like, oh, it's just a plane, whatever. But I'd seen this thing directly over my head and it was silent. It made no noise. I never know how to describe this, but it like vibrated my body. Whatever the hell that means, I could feel like my organs like just shaking. Maybe I was like just adrenaline or whatever, but it like whatever that thing was, it was like physiologically affecting me. So
wow,
I don't know. I still don't know what to make of it. And I have no idea what it was. Maybe it was a plane. Maybe it was like some top secret thing. I don't know. But it definitely like sent me on a path to take out books on UFOs and like inquire with people if they'd ever seen anything. And I was 12 at the time. So I'm like going around like I'm working for the newspaper and like, what did you see? What did you see? And then the X-Files happened. And I was like, I was sold. As soon as I saw, you know, the UFO in the opening theme, I was sold. And I'm like, I gotta watch this. Yeah.
That's awesome. So did you feel kind of like a kindred connection or something with the women in the, what is their group called? The group of women that are getting abducted all the time. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh gosh.
MUFON. MUFON?
Yeah. Oh, MUFON.
No,
yes.
Not so, MUFON. That's,
no, that's an actual thing.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. That's the one that Max Fennig.
Right.
NICAP.
Yeah, Max was part of NICAP, which is an actual organization.
Okay, see, Ryan knows. He knows. Yeah. We'll just defer to him.
I got you on these ones. MUFON is real as well. The women are part of a group. They're based off an actual group that's called StarWorks, which is a support group that meet and claim that they've all been abducted by aliens. I've met with these people. I don't know if you guys have ever seen People of Earth, the comedy show on TBS. So Brian Husky.
Sorry, we don't get that channel here.
No, we don't.
Oh, okay.
I know, heartbreak.
That's so heartbreak. It's such a good show. I'll send it to you.
Privately.
illegally.
We can put it into the show notes. We can put a link to it somewhere.
So yeah, it's a show about alien abductees. So they actually went out and like spoke to these people and used it as research for this show. So pretty interesting.
Speaking of which, have you seen Dean Haglund's The Truth Is Out There documentary?
Absolutely. Yep.
I still haven't seen it and I really want to see it.
It's great. He actually interviews...
I've been thinking about doing a bonus episode of it. So Ryan, if you want to do a bonus episode.
You know where to find me. Yep.
Awesome.
As long as it's got X-Files in it, I am good.
Anyway, sorry, you were talking about the group of women.
back to the group of women. No, I, yeah. You know, I've met with a lot of these people, and honestly, guys, I don't know what to make of all of it. Like, if these people are actually experiencing alien abductions, but they firmly believe they are. And you know what? The way I look at it in any of like this stuff that the X-Files covers or that I cover in real life, I wasn't there. I wasn't there when it happened. So I'm not going to tell them that it didn't happen. I'm just going to, you know, relay their stories the best I can and try to make some sense out of it. So that's kind of where I stand on all of this, the esoteric, the paranormal, the ufological. And that goes for the show as well.
I just say that is my like favorite thing about like your book and your show is you just it's not about like it is about what happened, but it's more about like the person who it happened to and how it affected them, because at the end of the day, that's the most important part.
I think so. And I think it says a lot about us as humans and sort of, you know, maybe they're looking for aliens or UFOs, but I always sort of envision it as putting a mirror back on themselves. Like whatever they perceive it as, that says a lot about them as an individual. Some people take it as a religious experience, some as a, you know, something completely different. So it's interesting. It's fascinating. And I'm so happy that the X-Files came around and covered these topics. It made it cool. Like, it made it cool to be a UFO researcher.
Right? And like, you're never going to know exactly what somebody's experience is because you didn't live it and you're not them. So the most you can do is just give them like a platform and give them the space to, you know, talk about their experiences and in whatever way they need to. Right. So
absolutely. Give them a voice. Yeah. And sometimes that's all the closure these people need for whatever they're dealing with, just to get it out there, you know? So yeah, anyways, wow, I feel like I have added to your Tangentville by tenfold.
It's great. We love it.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
This might actually be a good time to talk about Edgar Cayce because we're talking about paranormal stuff.
Which I'm just going to come out here and say that when I was looking him up, his name is not spelled how you would ever think that it would be.
Yeah, isn't it Edgar and then C-A-Y-C-E or something
like
that?
Yeah, C-A-Y-C-E. Yeah. I'm like, huh.
And I only know this because my mom likes to follow the trends of different new agey things. And so she, I think, even has... Did he write books? Did you find that in your... I think she might have a couple of his books.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love my mom.
Pretty sure he has, yeah.
Grin.
We all love our moms. You're not special. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. This is true.
We all love your mom. Listen to our Christmas
episode. Oh my God. Listen to our Christmas episode from however long ago that was.
Oh my gosh. Is your mom in it?
Yeah.
We recorded all of our moms.
Yeah.
My mom is so confused.
How did I miss that one?
It's pretty funny. It's pretty far back. I realized in April, it's going to be our third birthday of this podcast. Wow.
Congratulations.
We're 3 years old.
I think we have to do a birthday episode. Anyway.
Yeah, so Edgar Cayce, very interesting character.
Tell us all about him.
Yes. I mean, you obviously might know.
I actually don't know that much about him. I just know my mom had a couple books or tapes or something.
Good. Have you heard about him before, Ryan?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, his quotes sort of are all over the UFO quote unquote community and the paranormal. But I've never really looked into his actual work. I've just heard these quotes and been like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'm going to use that for something. So,
So Mulder mentions him in the podcast. The episode. He doesn't have a podcast. So that's
unfortunately, I would listen to that.
Hell yeah.
Yes. So Mulder mentions him because he was this person who lived from 1877 to 1945. He's part of the beginning of the spiritualist movement in the United States, where people were thinking about the afterlife and trying to find answers. And
when was that? Like late 1800s?
Late 1800s, early 1900s is when it got really big. That's when people would go from city to city and do seances and try to talk to dead relatives. And there's a lot of people during this era who are really famous for that.
That's
most of whom have been shown to be frauds.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I don't know so much about this guy, though, whether or not I don't. Because let me tell you a little bit more.
Okay, please.
So he's, like Mulder says in the episode, he got the nickname the Sleeping Prophet. Apparently, he would go into a trance, and that's where he would get all his information. And what he would do is he would give a lot of prophecies about the world to come. And what's crazy is that a lot of them kind of came true.
What?
Mm. I know, right? Let me tell you about a few of them.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
You should see the look I'm giving Carolyn right now.
I
can feel
chills.
It on my face. Yeah.
Apparently, he prophesied the stock market crash in 1925.
Oh my God, like the Great Depression.
Yeah, he basically foresaw, I wanted to say Black Friday, but it was actually Black Thursday, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, the crash of the stock market in 1929. And he told a 26-year-old physician that he would soon find himself in possession of a great deal of money, but he should exercise caution, especially in the face of adverse forces that will come in 1929.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and then in March, 6 months before the stock market crashed, he gave a warning to a stockbroker that there would be a great disturbance in financial circles, which is like, okay.
I'm sure there are some people who have given those kinds of,
for sure,
you know, predictions or whatever, and then just hoped that they would be true.
Yeah. I mean,
here's the thing. We've talked a lot about this a lot when we did our little side tangent about the lone gunman.
Yep.
It's easy to find patterns after the fact.
Yep.
Also, he apparently perceived World War II.
What? Excuse me?
Yes. In 1935, he warned a freight agent of catastrophic events that were building in the international community. I'm sorry, I'll give you my source here. This is a website called EdgarCasey.org. Casey's Seven Prophecies That Came True.
Because there's still like books being published.
Yes.
And, like, there's a whole website.
In fact,
there's
you
a whole
can
following.
Sign up for their newsletter.
Huh.
And
there you
it's
go.
A quarterly magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you also get a personalized astrology chart. Oh,
hey.
That's pretty cool.
Hey.
Your guys' birthday is coming up, so I'm just saying, listeners.
That's what you want for your birthday?
All I want for my birthday.
All I want for my birthday is an astrology reading. Ooh, baby.
Yeah. So I'll just tell you some of the other ones. He also, oh goodness. I'm sorry. This one's kind of, he prophesied that there would be a shift in poles.
Oh.
That the Earth's cycle would shift.
And like the magnetic poles
the magnetic
would switch.
Poles would switch, yeah.
See, that's interesting because the jury apparently is kind of out on that one because like some people say, oh, if it happened, it would be catastrophic. Like the world would basically like end. Mm-hmm. And then other people are like, yeah, we wouldn't even notice it. Like, I don't know who's right.
Yeah.
But I've read both things.
Well, he said that it would happen.
So it could have happened.
And some people, including a PBS show, said that it actually did happen. So
yeah, I mean, maybe it happened and we didn't realize it.
This article is quoting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have like earthquakes in LA every like 10 minutes. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe
whatever,
the pole shifted. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just blame everything on the pole shift.
Yeah, right.
I can't come to work today. Yeah. Did you hear the poles shifted? Yeah. Sorry. Can't even leave my bed.
Yeah, exactly. I like that excuse. I'm going to use that one too.
Also prophesized that about the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh.
What is that? What do you mean he prophesized about
them? He described the people who wrote them, the Essenes, who were a very little known sect at that time because they hadn't found the Dead Sea Scrolls yet.
Right.
Which the Dead Sea Scrolls have all those extra biblical texts.
Yeah.
And since this guy was Christian, he was like way into
that. That's right. He was a Christian like mystic.
Christian mystic. Yeah. Who?
I was like, what's the right word?
What did Scully say in the episode? She says about, he believed Atlantis. They were really into Atlantis.
Right.
Yeah.
My mom might have a book on that too. Go on.
Hey, Atlantis could be a thing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's J-U-V-E-D-E-R-M.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Prize.
Anyway, so yeah, that seems to me a little weird that he thought he knew about these people.
So he basically was like, there are these people who wrote these scrolls, and then they found them after he had talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. That's interesting, because that's like not a, that's clearly not a after the fact sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of these you could just like, well, he said something like this. Oh, we could, you know, connect it to anything.
That's true.
One. Yeah, maybe that one, maybe not, though. Yeah. He also said that he saw that blood would be more important with using it to tell stuff about people. Since your blood used as a diagnostic tool.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Back then, they didn't test people's blood for anything.
Right.
They didn't know about how to look at your blood and find information about you.
Right.
He said,
like the fact that they look at my blood and go, you have low iron.
Yeah. Look at my blood and be like, how come you ain't dead yet?
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's a quote. The day may yet arrive when one may take a drop of blood and diagnose the condition of any physical body.
What?
Wow.
Okay, that's pretty weird. I didn't actually know that. Like, wow. Like, I'm willing to believe or, like, you know, entertain the idea that this, that prophecies could be true, or that, you know, there's somebody who's sort of linked into God more closely. I mean, that's what Jesus is said to have been, is, you know, just linked more closely to God in some way. So I'm like, I'm willing to, you know, entertain that idea. And then when you hear things like that, it's like, maybe
this is a good connection to start talking about hypnagogia.
Yeah.
So that's that what Scully was talking about at the beginning of the episode.
Sounds like sleep paralysis. Rem Atonia, did you hear a hissing or a buzzing? Did you feel an electric current running through your body?
No, it was different, Mulder. I mean, after the initial jolt of fear, I felt compelled to follow the dark figure.
And I don't know if you know anything about this.
I do not. I was going to look it up, and then I didn't have a chance to. Full disclosure.
Hey, that's why you got me. That's why I'm here.
Yay.
You're our resident Scully this episode.
Yes.
Aw.
You're the researcher of the group.
I'm a medical doctor.
Yes.
To quote Scully.
I was going
to
say.
I'm a medical doctor.
I'm not a medical doctor, but I play one on TV. I play one on this podcast.
I play a lot of things on this podcast.
True.
So hypnagogia is, I give you a little, there's a whole website called hypnagogia.com or whatever.
Peer reviewed.
No, that's not, but that's not the website I'm going to tell you about. The one I'm going to tell you about is better. Okay. And apparently there's this thing called hypnagogic pop, which is like music.
A music genre?
Yeah, yeah. Like 311. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also, it's like chill wave or glo-fi. I don't know if you.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. I definitely have heard that.
It's nice to fall asleep to because it just like lulls you into this.
I listen to that kind of thing when I'm like working on a blog post or something at work because it just gets me really focused.
If you want to listen to music that could easily double as party music or going to sleep music, there's Simpsons Chill Wave. It's on Yeah.
It's like The Simpsons?
The Simpsons. So they take Simpsons... I love The Simpsons. Yeah. They take clips from The Simpsons and they turn into music videos / music, and it is freaking amazing. And I need to, like, I'll link to it in the description, so because I don't remember who makes it, but it is really good.
That's awesome. Wow. There is everything out there.
There is everything out there. Okay. So this is just a Huffington Post article about it. How the state between sleep and wakefulness is the key to creativity, blah, blah, blah. But it's telling me about all these people who used to do this.
Who used to
go into a trance to get ideas or be creative.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, like, Salvador Dali, apparently, used to hold a key and then, like, kind of go to sleep. And then as soon as he would fall asleep, he would drop the key and then it would wake him up. And then he would be able to retain all those ideas from when he was, like, in between sleep and wakefulness.
Not surprised.
Wow. That one.
Looking at his, looking at all his pictures, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Mary Shelley apparently got her idea for Frankenstein by she woke up and she just had it. And she, like, you know, when you wake up and you have a really great idea and you have to write it down right away.
I love that book.
Right? So good. So creepy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, a very interesting coming-of-age story. Or a very different sort of coming-of-age story.
Apparently, Edison also did this. He would take two, like, metal balls and he put them in his hand.
Okay.
And he'd hold on to them. And then when he fell asleep, he would drop them and they'd wake him up. And then he would...
write things down right away.
Yes, yeah, so that was the creative time between when he was awake and when he was just falling asleep. That's when all those ideas and those trance-like thoughts would come to him.
I feel like this is something I should be doing.
I mean, right?
Yeah, really?
Because, like, I wake up from, you know, a night of sleeping but dreaming, and I know I dreamt something, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I wake up and I've, like, had, like, a dream that's so vivid, I'm like, I'm going to write this down. And otherwise, because the more and more awake you get, the more and more you lose it.
Totally.
Mm. Yeah, I remember, I think it was Mitch Hedberg, the late comedian, who said, like, he would, you know, he would fall asleep and have these incredible, you know, jokes come into his head while he was asleep. And he'd wake up and his first inclination was to, like, get up and go write it down. But he was so lazy that he would convince himself that the joke wasn't funny.
Oh my gosh.
So it's almost like the opposite of that.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
You know, this is interesting because the only way I've heard of this whole thing is a lot of people who claim to have been abducted by aliens, they say that, you know, they were paralyzed and they saw this figure in their room and they were taken aboard a craft or, you know, communicated with some dark figure. So I always
almost like they're having night terrors.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, sleep paralysis or night terrors.
Yeah.
And that's or in this state, this hypnagogic, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah. Like, that's the only way I ever heard of it. Not as, like, a tool for artists or, you know, free thinkers. It's very fascinating to hear this side of it.
And it's definitely a thing in this episode. I actually noticed when I rewatched yesterday, actually, that there's the part where Scully is lying in sort of the waiting room.
Yeah.
And she is on a couch and there's, like, kind of like a coffee table type of table. And it's glass and you can see her reflection in the glass, but she's moving on the couch, but the reflection isn't moving.
Whoa.
And actually, to be honest, it was somebody on Tumblr who actually pointed that out the first time. But then I, like, kind of thought about it and I was like, okay, what could this be saying? Like, is there a deeper meaning to this? And apparently it was intentional. It was intentional, sorry. And if you look at the picture, like, if you take a still of it, it looks like she is it's a perfect symmetrical picture. Mm. So, you know, it's like if you were to fold that image in half, like, together, it would be perfectly symmetrical. So I thought that was really interesting. So it was kind of like maybe there wasn't really much meaning to it, but just sort of a nod towards this idea of, like, this in-between state or this, like, what is real, what's a dream, like.
Well, so what? Her reflection's not moving because she's not really moving. She's just sleeping.
She's moving on the couch. You can see her kind of, like, twitching in her sleep.
Right.
But the reflection, she's not moving.
Oh.
And so I think it's kind of just like an intentional There's something intentional there. Just not sure what it is.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. I watched it twice, and I think this is one of those episodes where you have to watch it more than once. There is no way you can digest this one. There's so much below the surface.
So much, and like we haven't even gotten to some things. Like,
I know. Wow.
That's okay. I mean,
sorry about this. We've been.
Do you have anything else about?
No, that? Like that's that. No.
Okay.
Let's stop sleeping. Let's start waking up.
Very nice. So, Ryan.
Yes.
Tell me what you thought about William / Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, like you guys, season 9 was kind of a blur to me. So, like, the entire William storyline kind of passed me by. And I didn't really think about it, you know? And then in season 10, we got, was it Home Again where we got like that like fantasy life that Mulder saw with his son?
Right, I don't remember what episode.
Yeah, but like Mulder envisioned this perfect life with his son, like playing baseball with him and this and that. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I guess I should go back and learn about William again. But then this season, like we heard that William was going to be an integral part of it. And we were waiting to see how they were going to bring him into the X-Files and back into Mulder and Scully's life. And I thought this was pretty interesting and definitely not the way I thought it was going to go, for sure. I don't know what to make of him. So first, we did mention these two girls in the beginning. They end up, you know, slicing and dicing one another. And then we find out that it's because of Vanderkemp. Is that his pseudonym?
Jackson Vanderkemp.
Yeah, who turns out to be William.
He was adopted by the Vanderkamps, and that's something that we found out in season whenever Scully gives him up for adoption, isn't it? Like, we found that out quite
well in that episode, My Struggle 3. Didn't Krychek come and tell her? Spender.
I wish Krychek.
Me too. I mean, they brought CSM back, but they didn't bring Krychek back.
Come on.
I know. Ryan, you and I just said that at the exact same time. I love it.
That little one-armed wonder.
Seriously. But like, I thought that was something that actually was known earlier on in the series as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe Scully forgot, or maybe Scully never found out, but somebody else did. I can't remember the details. But
well, yeah, because when they say Vanderkemp, she's like, oh.
Yeah, she doesn't realize.
No, she realizes.
Yeah. Oh, she remembers?
Yeah. Because then when she go to the house, she's like, I'm freaking out right now.
Right, and then she gets in the car and drives, and that's silly.
No, she says, I'm going to feel like I'm falling off the ledge. She didn't say, man, I'm freaking out.
this is so weird, dude.
You know what to do anymore.
It's trippy.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting way to introduce William to us, but at the same time, I was kind of really turned off by the fact that this dude is like a player.
Horrible.
Like from the start.
Okay, look, you're young. You're like 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, actually, I think it is. I think he is 17. Because I think he is born in the year 2000. Anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. And he's like doing this, you know, he's like seeing the two girls. And I'm like, okay, look, you're young. You don't understand like the greater world or whatever. There are some people who do non-monogamy not like this.
Yeah.
I mean, you do not know what you're doing.
Is it because he was like, he's like Mulder's son? I don't believe the CSM was telling the truth.
I don't either. I'm pretty sure that's not going to be actually a thing, but that's just...
It better not be.
Or maybe that's wistful thinking. I don't know.
But yeah.
But like, anyway.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this kid's a douche. And then like, I started to kind of reflect on like what I was like at 17. And I'm like, you know what? I did not see, you know, the forest beyond the trees at that point. I wasn't thinking about like how this would affect the two girls or like how this would affect anyone. I was the center of the universe when I was 17.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, if I had these superpowers and I was able to make people perceive things, like maybe that'd be fun. But like the fact that he did this elaborate prank on two people that he supposedly cared about, knowing full well that something like really bad could happen. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if I care about him. I don't know.
So wait, are you saying that I'm not the center of the universe?
I mean, I would take that back.
Yeah, because like...
Oh, wait. But I'm the center.
No, I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to have like a little like teenager cat fight.
No.
Ladies, put
the I love him. He
down.
Loves me. He's mine.
Yeah. So wait a minute. Let me wrap up everything you're saying, Ryan. You're saying hate him, wouldn't want to date him.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Like he does say later when he meets someone, he's like, oh, I never meant for you guys to stab each other. But you're like, dude, I mean,
what did you expect? Though? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to go see a monster, like, you know, arm yourself.
Even not like going on that abandoned Chimera ship, like anything could happen. Yeah. They could have fallen through. They could have drowned. Like, come on, dude.
It's what true.
I mean, that's where the kids go to smoke weed. So
apparently
she
yeah.
says, yeah. Which like is not probably very far from the truth. Like kids do stupid things like go into the forest or onto a weird rusting ship.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I grew up in a rural area. Not much to do.
Yeah.
But are we going to talk about the fact that the ship is called a Chimera?
Yes.
If you want to.
Yeah.
Ryan, you want to helm this conversation?
Helm this conversation.
Helm it.
You want to
take
the rudder?
That. Good job. Good job with that one. It's sink or swim now.
Oh,
that was a good one.
I just threw up in my mouth a little. Okay. So, yeah, this was pretty cool. The ship was called Chimera, which was a reference to a season 7 episode of that name, which was, from what I'm trying to remember, I don't remember the episode that clearly, but it had a lot to do with, I think, like a mother, wasn't it? Do you guys remember at all?
I don't remember this one very well.
Oh, this one.
Oh, yeah. This one. Yeah. The like housewife or something.
Yes. And then there is attacked by a monster they can't see.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they think that it's somebody who's killing someone else.
There's a bird.
The birds are dying in this one?
No, I think the birds are attacking people, aren't they?
No, that's the movie called The Bird.
But like, Wikipedia says right here.
Oh, Raven,
later, the police dig up Martha's body with claw marks all over her face. Just saying.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and they think it was a raven or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah, so it looks like, I mean, the episode's sort of centered around, like, white suburban existence and kind of, like, the undertones of that world, which I could sort of see reflecting in this episode with, like, the idea of creepypasta and these girls, like, online. Yeah. And, like, they have nothing better to do than create this fantasy world around Ghoulie. So maybe that's why they chose Chimera as the name of the ship. I don't know if we're getting too deep, but we do know that they love making references to other episodes in this.
That's true.
Current
but I mean, maybe it could also just be a reference to the legendary creature Chimera.
Yeah, that too.
That has all those many different parts that are sewed together. So the story has all these different parts that are kind of sewn together.
Because like, doesn't the Chimera have like different, like its body parts are from different animals?
Yeah.
Right. So that could be part of it too. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not sure what to read about, like how to read into that text.
It's deep for sure.
Deep like the sea that the Chimera floats on.
Love it.
Yeah.
That was kind of a shallow bay, so.
It was kind of. Where do you think that was?
I thought it was in North Vancouver.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They did a lot of North Van filming. Oh, the waves. The waves where Mulder keeps getting called Bob, which we should talk about briefly.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a, that coffee shop is a Waves in North Vancouver.
Oh, around Vancouver.
Oh, cool. It's an actual place.
It is. Yeah. I mean, they didn't say the name of the coffee shop in the show, but
and I'm going
to happen to know it was filmed at a Waves in North Vancouver. Yeah, I just wanted to say that that's where that was filmed. That's all. And Jackson Vanderkamp's house is like such a Vancouver, like
very Vancouver.
Kitsilano, like $2 million house. Come on.
Oh, God.
I guess they're supposed to be in Virginia, I think, but.
Yeah, it's interesting too. Like when William was put up for adoption and whatnot, we thought like we're gonna see a very like down out of his luck sort of teenager, super like dark and twisted. And he kind of is, obviously, because of, you know, what he's going through. But he lives with these amazing supportive parents who, you know, are really taking care of him. So it's interesting to see, you know, what the future kind of held for him and where he is at right now in his life. And, you know, that Mulder and Scully are now coming into it and all this is going down. I wonder.
I have two thoughts about that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that bedroom has planets and baseball stuff.
Yes.
How could that not be Mulder's son? Come on. I'm not the only person who has pointed this out, but like, I just want to say it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, he's digging up like top secret FBI or government files. Come on.
Right? I know.
He has a secret hidden computer.
Because obviously this is all genetics. You know, like,
right.
All that stuff is
no tabula rasa here.
No. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was Scully's monologue to William when he's in the morgue.
In a season that has been and this one in the last season too, really delved into the motherhood. What does it mean to be a mother?
All the time.
Yeah. Like, he likes talking about that. And so Scully's been seeped in that for a while. Yeah, now she's face-to-face with her son, and she doesn't even get shocked him because he's quote-unquote dead.
Right, and I think we should play a clip here of the monologue.
I don't know if you are who I think you might be. But if you are William, this is what I'd say. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I didn't get a chance to know you. Or you get a chance to know me or your father. I gave you up for adoption not because I didn't want you or because you were any less loved. I was trying to keep you safe. I hope you know that. And maybe I should have had the courage to stand by you. But I thought I was being strong because it was the hardest thing I've ever done. To let go and to know that I was going to miss your whole life. But it turns out that this is the hardest thing. To see the outcome. And how I failed you. I need you to know that I never forgot you. And I thought, I felt, even recently, that we were gonna somehow be reunited. I wish I could have been there to ease your pain. Oh my God, this is so inadequate. I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And that's so tragic because he was awake and he heard everything that she said.
Right.
And then he sees the girls in the hospital later and he's like, oh, there was this woman, like, she like talked to me. I don't know. I think she might be my birth mother or something. Like, he completely brushes it off. And I was like, that is so 17-year-old boy.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. It was probably the most important moment in my life. Who knows?
Yeah. But then, I mean, we get it later on in the episode when you see him on the security camera, like, footage, and you see that it's him, and he says, you know, I wish I could have known you, like, you seem like a really good person, or whatever he says. And then, oh my God, like, Scully and Mulder, like, standing there, and Mulder has his hand on her shoulder, and she's like crying and smiling at the same time. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
But it's just really interesting, like, he kind of brushes that whole monologue off, but then maybe he did really hear it, and maybe he did feel something from it. You kind of see later in the episode. I don't know.
Yeah, it's his power of, like, distorting people's perception. I think we're going to see a lot more of what he's actually capable of, I feel, in, like, probably the last episode, maybe.
Kind of, he's coming back. I'm sure.
Edgar Casey-ing this one. I think that's what we're going to see.
Oh, I hope you're not in a trance right now.
I'm really feeling your mystical presence here.
Yeah. I'm holding a key in my hand and two metal balls in the other.
I know.
But yeah, I'm interested to see, like, what other abilities he has, but the fact that, like, throughout the episode, it's kind of he's trying to learn more about his mother, not his father, which I think is pretty interesting. And Mulder as well just kind of seems like he wants nothing to do with it. And I noticed that, you know what I mean? Like he cares about Scully. That's it. And I love that. Like they're soulmates. He looks out for her first and foremost. He always has. But I find it interesting.
We love how excited you are about this right now. It's amazing.
Yeah. Wait, what's the S word you just used?
I think he was talking about William and Scully. Right?
No, Mulder and Scully are soulmates.
You're talking about Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
Soulmates. Soulmates, yeah.
Soulmates.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about soulmates, not in the sense of like romantic, but like, you know.
Not at all.
Some people think that like, you know.
No, like, their bond is deeper, Scully and Williams, because they're, you know, mother and son.
Well, something that I found interesting too, kind of like on from another angle, is that because he doesn't have any interaction really with Mulder, he only has interaction with Scully, is that the writers or, you know, Chris Carter or whoever, trying to tell us subtly that Mulder is not his father.
Right. And I remember reading,
I do not like that idea,
in an interview with James Wong, that he didn't know about the cigarette smoking man thing when he wrote this episode.
Okay. But that doesn't mean that things weren't changed later.
Right. Yes, that's very true. But
also, like, if he was Mulder's quote unquote brother, like they might have somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah.
I can't even do it. Can't even right now.
Because that just is so wrong.
When will we be rid of this cigarette smoking?
William B. Davis, we love you. But
we love you. Amazing actor. Yeah.
if you could just Mufasa it for the next couple of episodes, that's great. Yeah. Come back in a cloud, but like don't really be around.
Yeah.
Love it.
I almost like jumped out of my seat when William was about to get up and confront Mulder and Scully. I was like, oh my God, yes, finally.
I know.
And it didn't happen. He like shapeshifted.
They really bait and switched that.
God, yeah. That was such an amazing. There were some images and, you know, small moments in this episode that I think like are the pinnacle of the entire series. Like the monologue by Scully, God, that last moment of seeing him on the camera and like just that look of like resolution and closure for Scully in some ways. Like it ain't over by a long shot, but like just to know he's still there and that he reached out to her. Like, God, I can't even imagine as a mother, like what that must have meant to her.
At the same time, like both times that I watched this episode, I got to the end of the episode and I just was like, where do we go from here? Like, I felt hopeful, but I also just felt kind of like empty in a weird way. I can't really describe it. It was kind of like, I just don't know where we go from here.
I think a big part of that, at least personally, is that we're going to inevitably end with a Chris Carter episode, at least with this season.
Yeah.
God knows if it's ever going to continue after that. But like knowing impending that we have to see My Struggle 4, we're like, come
maybe
why?
That's what I was feeling right there, Ryan.
You know what I mean? Just this emptiness of like, we're going to get some sort of wrap up by Chris Carter and these My Struggle episodes don't go over well. They never have. Yeah. So it's like we're getting this beautiful writing by Wong and Morgan, and we have to end with the mythology. And I don't know. I know what you mean. Like, it was a beautiful episode. But again, it all seems a little rushed. Yes, we get 10 episodes this time, but I still feel like that's not enough for the stakes that they're trying to do.
At least it doesn't feel as rushed as season 10 did. Season 10 was ridiculous. Oh, yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's still pretty rushed.
Yeah. That's my personal
opinion. It used to be that we would get 20 plus episodes in a season of The X-Files.
And they would drag it out.
Yeah, they would. Sometimes
like
it was
three episodes from Krycek's arm to finally fall off. Like, we're cutting it. Oh, we're still cutting it.
I know. And then finally.
Continued.
Yeah, really. And then finally, he's got the fake hand with the
T-bag. Yeah.
Finally. I'm excited to see where this is all going to end up, even if we have to end with a Chris Carter episode. Mm-hmm. But it's still kind of like, what's gonna happen?
Well, yeah, because I mean,
I'm scared.
At this point, we know like the next one is an origin story for Skinner, but then we know nothing about what's coming after that. So that's exciting.
Yeah, there's one episode on IMDb that has a name. It's Kitten, which is the Skinner episode, which is episode 6, right? So then there's one more episode that we don't know the name of, and then I think it's episode 8 is called. Ah, shoot, I'll have to look it up. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to look on IMDb real quick. But anyway, so episode 8 has a title. And then 9 and 10 don't have titles yet, I think. Mm. So let me see here. Yeah, so episode 8 is Nothing Lasts Forever. Hmm. And there's a little picture here on IMDb, and it's Mulder and Scully in front of stained glass.
Stained glass!
Oh my goodness. But Scully's hair is short.
Wow.
Like, it's cut to above her shoulders.
What is she doing?
Oh, or is it a weird flashback to something we never saw before?
Right, right.
But I mean, how could they do that? I'm sorry, Mulder looks aged. Sorry, David Duchovny.
Well, you know, they can do wonders with CGI these days.
That's very true. And it is 2018 and not 1993, so they might actually be able to do something that looks halfway decent.
It's not 1993.
I mean, if we could put Carrie Fisher into a movie now, I think they can pretty much do anything. And Disney owns Fox now, so there you go.
Only parts of Fox, though.
Only parts of everything. Fox. Yeah.
Which is too bad, because I kind of wanted them to take Fox News. But anyway.
I don't know if her hair is really cut. I think she might just be at a weird angle.
No, because then I saw another picture of her where she and David Duchovny are like sitting there and they're being interviewed or something, and she has short hair. It's like a short red haired wig.
Nothing Lasts Forever is what it's called.
Like her hair.
Like her hair.
That's Ginger a good Angel.
I hope that this isn't like the sequel to Milagro.
Oh God.
Which one was that?
The one where she spent the whole episode in the church.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of looking forward to podcasting that one, though.
Yeah.
It's a good episode.
It's a good episode. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The guy who's in that episode, like, grew up with a friend of mine.
I wonder, like, for you guys, there must be so many, like, small, you know, things of separation living in Vancouver. Like, we know a portion, most of the series was shot there. And a lot of the actors, it's so obvious they're, you know, by their accents where they're from. But
I would really like to get the girl who played one of the girls in this episode, the blonde one, I'm forgetting her name. I think it might be Madeline Albert or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it would be so fun to get her on the podcast. I'll have to see if I can find her agent or somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for the future. There's one thing we didn't talk about yet.
Bob.
Oh, what about Bob? I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say the project that...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Project Crossroads.
There you go. Project Crossroads.
Have we heard about Project Crossroads before in the X-Files?
I don't know.
Kind it's supposedly... Of. Well, I mean, did they
use that name before?
Right. We know that Scully was abducted and that, like apparently this is the project that made her and William have alien and human DNA.
Right. Thanks to Smoking Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting because, like, it kind of came out of nowhere. And I thought it was interesting that Skinner was the one to tell Mulder about it. Like, I don't know what to make of Skinner yet. And I think that's, again, the brilliance of the writing of his character. We never know whether to trust him or not. But the fact that, like, he divulged Project Crossroads to Mulder in this episode was pretty interesting. And it kind of came out of left field, too. You know, this eugenics project that they'd been working on for so long. And, you know, and then at the end of this episode, which I thought was weird, is that supposedly Scully thought that the guy in charge of the project was the dude she was talking to at the gas station. I'm like, come on, Scully. You're just going to, out of nowhere, ask this guy at a gas station, were you in charge of this top secret government project? Like,
I know. She's like, are you Dr. Matsumoto or whatever?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't even finish high school. Which, by the way, if that's William, which it is, he hasn't finished high school.
Exactly.
He's not lying.
Yeah.
But
I'm sorry.
But yeah, then if he's like, oh, yeah, that's me. Why do you ask? Oh, you're that doctor for blah, blah, blah. Like,
she keeps on seeing him random places.
Right.
Well, that's another crazy thing about the fact that he makes himself look like that pickup artist. It's like, okay, he's got a pickup artist book in his room. He's a player who has two girlfriends. Come on, William. Just come on. Like, what kind of a player are you? What kind of an adult are you going to be?
I just don't see a good future for William at all. I don't see
how
this can't end happy. It can't.
I don't feel like it will either.
His real dad's not the cigarette smoking man. It's Morris Fletcher.
No.
Oh,
I refuse.
No.
You refuse that.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Lebanese. I thought, no, what does he say? Oh, lesbian. I thought you said Lebanese, or maybe it's the other way around in The Lone Gunman.
Yeah.
Lebanese. I thought you said lesbian. I don't remember what it was.
So, Dr. Matsumoto, he burned all the files to protect the subjects, and then he disappeared, and everyone's trying to track them down.
What episode was that? Did they talk about this and that in this episode, or did that happen in the past?
Didn't they talk about that in this episode?
Maybe they did.
Yeah. I think that's what Skinner was getting at with Mulder.
Yeah.
Okay. But we haven't seen that happen in the past.
No.
It's really crazy because I'm watching this like as an audience member and going, you know, okay, I thought we always knew that Scully had alien DNA and whatever. And I thought we always knew some things about William, but I'm forgetting which characters know what about the story.
Right.
And I think that's where the show has always kind of suffered. Like, there's so much convoluted things that we forget about because it's spoken of in like one line and never again.
Plus, it was like 17 years ago when the show ended.
Yeah.
So everything that we learned on season 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers.
I don't know.
It's just really hard to keep it all straight. And that's something we've been saying since we even started this podcast. And when Amanda was on the podcast with us, she was like, I don't know what's going on.
Poor Amanda.
We're like, don't ask questions.
We had the benefit of hindsight.
Man. Yep. This is a crazy episode.
Yeah. Overall, I loved it. Just to get that out there. Like, I thought it was really good writing. It was a great character exploration for Scully. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what happens with William.
Totally agree, 100%.
Yeah.
There's good stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Well, I don't know, because, like, I don't know if William's going to have a good ending. I hope so, but I don't know if he will. There's, like, this instinct in me going,
what if the X-Files goes on to season 12 and they just follow William around?
Or what if William and Gibson actually were friends? Like Gibson, we've talked about.
Oh my god. Aww. Yeah, it's
now
like
that's someone they need to bring back.
You should have Jeff Gulka on your podcast. He's fun.
Yeah,
is he really?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So much fun.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have him on again sometime.
Cool. How old is he now?
He's our age.
Okay.
Yeah, he's about he's in his 30s.
We like talked to him like before his 30, like the day before his 30.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's like, I'm going out for my birthday. We're like, awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's super approachable and really nice.
Cool.
Anyway, okay, so we've been going on for quite a while, I think.
Wow,
I think everything that I wanted to say I've said, except for Bob. We haven't really
Let's just talk about Bob. What about Bob?
So Bob is the name of a certain part of Mulder's anatomy that the fandom has given it ever since the Red Speedo.
Oh.
But I'm a late bloomer.
Is this from the dark net?
I'm a late bloomer to the X-Files internet fandom. So I had no idea about this until Lindsay, our friend, told me.
Oh, that
and
is
I was
hilarious.
Like, okay.
Wow. Okay, see. I thought Bob was that weird dude that keeps popping up in the background of every episode. You know, like that photo of him in the...
The guy in the like that shows up in the Lone Gunman picture in, like secretly or whatever, like that sort of Easter egg. Yeah.
Right. But no, now I'm learning right now that it's actually Mulder's package. Awesome.
Apparently.
Okay. Well, okay then.
I do have to say, like you were saying earlier, Ryan, that this is basically a love letter to the fans this whole season so far. And that's another thing where they took something from the fandom and they were like, we got to put this in here. And then there was the fajitas thing when they were in the diner, which is a, you know, reference to a fanfic that apparently is very racy.
Oh my gosh.
My Lanta.
You said this fandom just keeps
get the smelling salts
giving.
In the fans.
Yeah,
for sure.
The fandom that just keeps on giving.
Just keeps
just
on
said.
Giving. It's, yeah. It's very generous.
I know. And the X-Files creators are like, huh, we could do something with that. Thanks for doing our work for us.
Yeah. And I'm sure you guys have talked about this, too. Like the fact that in, was it My Struggle, the beginning of this season, you know, that voice going backwards was actually Chris Carter, like saying thank you to all the fans and everything.
I heard a rumor that it might have been Jillian.
Oh.
Because it's hard to tell. If you listen to it, it's obviously been kind of auto-tuned or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's backwards, so it's not going to sound.
So, but yeah, it's just, it is like a little something out there for the fans.
Totally.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, we love it too.
I don't think I've had this much fun podcasting in a long time, Ryan. Thank you so much for doing this crossover with us. I said that staring at Vanessa in her eyes.
Yeah.
Plus, all of our lovely guests we've had on. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, this has been awesome. Like I said, I talk UFOs every single week, but then to talk about the show that kept me going and searching for the actual truth that's out there, like I love it. And to find people as passionate as I am about the X-Files, that's something I hold very dear to my heart. The XPH files were still out there, we're alive, and we will follow this show, you know, till the very bitter end. And it was such a pleasure and honor to do this with you guys.
Yeah, it was awesome having you on as well, like in our little crossover here. Just out of curiosity, because like there are other X-Files podcasts out there, what other X-Files podcasts do you like?
So I was pretty late to the podcasting game until I started my own. So I started, you know, seeing
too,
what else
actually
was out there. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't start this podcast, let's be fair.
Yes, since I started this podcast.
Oh. Ooh, I'm getting the origin story.
It is true.
What else do I listen to Kumail Nanjiani's, obviously.
Yes.
Love, love, love that one. I wish he was still doing it. It kind of just fell off.
I don't think he has time.
He's a little busy.
At this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to
Which
get
is
all,
great. Good
he had
for
to
him.
Get all big and everything on us. Whatever.
I know.
Nah. He seems like an awesome dude.
Shout out to The Big Sick. So
The
good.
Big Sick. Oh, God. Incredible. I listened to the X-Cast, obviously. An amazing community of X-Files.
Nice.
Fans.
Yes.
And you guys, I think that's it. If you have any recs on what I should be listening to continue my obsession,
I do.
Please, please, please.
I have one. You should listen to Gin and Topics.
Okay.
They're a relatively new podcast. They're two lovely women who have been X-Files fans also forever. And they're really like good at reading sort of the text of the episodes and really getting into like the how do I want to say this? Like the literary kind of aspect of it.
Mm.
They're very like they critique really, really well. And I just find them really awesome. So anybody like you should all go check them out. They're so good.
See, that's great. I love hearing like that people are looking at this from all different ways, you know. I mean, I've always sort of seen like the X-Files as bigger than the show ever could be. You know, you could take a crypto feminism stance on it. You could take like I do, like
crypto
the actual
feminism. Whoa.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you could look at it like I do of like the history and mythology behind UFOs, you know, and believers in that sort of subculture. So there's so many different ways to look at this show, and I think that's the brilliance of it. And you know, no matter people's thoughts on how Chris Carter treats his women in his episodes sometimes, don't get me started.
Me neither.
I think he has, you know, he just wants everyone to be happy. I don't think he ever envisioned X-Files being this big. He's kind of like George Lucas in Star Wars. So like, you will never please everyone, but he's trying his hardest. And just the fact that we get to see these characters again, like, take my money. I will keep watching.
He might be a little over in over his head sometimes.
A little bit.
That's why he has his team.
Yep.
The James Wongs of the world and the Darren and Glenn Morgans of the world.
For sure.
Yes.
And the Vince Gilligans.
The Vince Gilligans, absolutely. I wish he'd come back. But,
me too.
You know, take what we can get. And please get us some more female writers, please.
Well, yeah, there is at least one episode coming up that has a female writing team.
Good.
So that's awesome. Yeah.
Good, good, good. Then we're headed in the right direction.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know you're new to this crossover, Ryan. Would you like to rate with us?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. What? Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
We were like being ridiculous with our ratings earlier in the season, but we could just do it out of 10 if you'd like.
Okay,
and
cool.
Do you want us to go first?
Sure. Yeah. I'll take your lead.
Okay.
You
want to
go first?
I don't. But now that you're now you're putting me on the spot,
I could try to go first.
Pressure's on.
You know, I actually really like this episode for a lot of reasons, which we talked about.
Let's talk about them some more. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Another hour, please.
3-hour episode.
Exactly.
That is a thing on some podcasts.
It's
go
true.
On.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give this one a 7.5.
Okay.
It's a pretty high rating for me.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
7.5 out of 10 Greek mythology named seafaring vessels.
Wow. Okay, if we were still doing the volutin thing,
I would get so
you
many
would
volutin.
Get the volutin, not
I didn't,
me.
I didn't even go for hand-holding. Like, that is...
that is impressive.
I'm growing.
What about the hug in the morgue?
Oh. my bread and butter.
Right? All right, who's next? Should I go next?
Go ahead.
Carolyn's looking at me like
I'm looking
go
at
next.
You expectantly.
All right, I'm going to actually give it an 8 out of 10.
What?
I also very much enjoyed this episode. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I'm going to give it 8 pickup artist books out of 10.
Oh, you mean the pickup artist books written by someone named Peter Wong?
Oh, is that what the name was on
yeah,
there?
Yeah, like fall back to maybe one of James' family members.
Maybe.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be so funny.
That's amazing. Those pickup artist books were hilarious.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, God. Let's see. You know what? I think I'm going to go with an 8.5.
Oh, the highest rating yet.
Increments of 5 this time.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm giving the 0.5 merely for Scully's monologue and the last moment where Mulder puts his hand on her shoulder. I just I melted inside just seeing that. Ugh,
it was you're the one giving the shippy rating.
Apparently. When did I become a shipper?
I'm so proud right now. This baby shipper here. I'm so proud.
Yes. Mission
He's growing up.
Yes.
So 8 out of 10 or 8.5 out of 10 what's?
8 out of 10 8 out of 10 snow globes.
Aww. Oh,
broken or not broken?
No, whole. Well, one's broken in half, but the other ones are whole. Yeah. Eight and a half,
exactly. Yeah. That was very good.
Yeah.
Very fast thinking.
I'll go with that, yeah.
Well, since we're wrapping up, let's talk about where we can find where our listeners for both of these podcasts can find all of us.
If you are so inclined.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All of my work, the podcast, I write articles. I work for a few websites writing articles all about UFOs and
esoteric.
Yeah. That can all be found at somewhereintheskies.com. And, you know, podcasts all over iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, what have you. So that's me, guys. How about you?
Very cool.
Can I just say your website is gorgeous? Like,
it's a great website.
Beautiful.
Everybody go look.
It is, yeah. Like, it's so, I love it. It's so easy to navigate. And it's a lot
thank
of exciting
you.
Stuff. I can't wait to explore.
Explore some more.
Thank Weebly for that.
not a sponsor of this podcast, but shout out anyway.
Yeah.
Well, if you're interested in Vanessa and my podcast, Not Another X-Files podcast, you can find us at Not Another XF Pod on everything.
Most of the things.
gmail.com, Tumblr, Twitter,
Facebook.com. Yeah, and also on Patreon. Do you have a Patreon, Ryan?
I do. Oh my gosh, thank you.
Plug that.
Yeah, so seriously. For like just like you guys, you know, if you want bonus content, episodes, one-on-one Skype sessions, I've got a ton of merch that I'm giving away. My Patreon is at patreon.com/somewhereskies. And I'm up like 25 people now, which is more than I ever envisioned. So awesome. And
that is
right
awesome.
After this,
congratulations.
Thank you. It's been amazing. The support system within the UFO community and beyond has been incredible. But I am going to become a Patreon of you guys very soon because I want to hear what else you got to say.
Oh, fun. So
where can I find that?
That was a very nice segue. You can find us on patreon.com/notanotherxfpod. And Patreon is spelled Patreon. Like patron with an E. I just always spell it out because people are like, how do you...
What is that word?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Say what?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important that people know, like, we do this for the love and passion we have for these topics. And it ain't, you know, it's free to consume, but it's not always free to create. So
it is not free to create. That is very true.
Yeah.
By the way, I have actually some exciting news. So if you listeners are ever wanting to start a podcast, I have a Libsyn affiliate link now.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah. So basically go to, I should look this up. I'm pretty sure it's libsyn.com and the promo code is Vanessa.
Awesome.
Yeah. Because they were like, all the other ideas I had, they didn't think they already existed. So I'm like, can I just do my first name? They're like, sure. I'm like, really? There's no Vanessa yet? Okay.
What?
No Vanessa.
Yeah. So anyway.
There's no Vanessa.
Nope. There's only this Vanessa. So if I have that link wrong, I will put it in the show notes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's been real.
It has been real. Wow. This has been great, guys. This navigating through this episode. You know, I love it. I loved it. I can't wait to see where we're headed next.
Same here.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.